Well, good morning. Good morning. It's good to see everybody that's here this morning. Glad to have those of you who are on our social media platforms, whether you're on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, any of those. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, do all those things. It just helps to get the word out. If you need the number for the phone live streaming, be sure to see me today, and I'll be glad to give that number to you. So let me catch my breath. If you have access to the church website, go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that we have the worship bulletin for today that you can download. These are at the doors as you came in. Some are in the windowsills. Don't forget the children's worship bulletins. Those are in the windowsill to my right, so be sure to grab one of those. And then also, children's church will be dismissed a little while later. And then under that info tab is also the prayer list, so be sure to get that downloaded also, and be praying through each one of those prayer requests there. So thank you for doing that. We do also want to just remind you, if you're one of our guests, to be sure and pick up one of the guest bags on the sides of the stage. There's some on the table out that way, as well as in the hallway here. We just want to give those to you to say thank you for being here with us this morning. It's got some information about our church and some gifts to say that thank you. So if you brought a guest, be sure that they get one of those. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Morning, all.
Morning.
I know most of you have just sat down. Sorry about that. Let's stand and sing a song about how great the Lord is. Let's praise Him through that song. Pat.
Great is the Lord, He's holy and just. By His power we trust in His love.
This morning we come to our missionary moment of the week. They're Brandon and Ellen Hembry. They are missionaries there in your bulletin. They are serving in the Washington, D.C. area, planted the Impact Church there and became burden for all the people there, and God opened the ministry there to teach English to Afghans. So pray for Brandon and Ellen that God will continue to provide opportunities and resources for Impact Church to reach those in the Washington, D.C. area. We still are emphasizing our golden offering for Tennessee missions, and we want to share with you a brief video this morning on our Baptist Collegiate Ministries that focuses primarily on East Tennessee and West Middle Tennessee.
Thank you.
While I was interning in the student ministry at Forest Hills, I began to have conversations with Chad about what would it look like for me to go into ministry, and I felt like God was kind of pulling me in that direction, but I didn't really know what that looked like.
I threw out the idea of really leaning into some of our BCM ministers that are serving so well on our collegiate campuses across Tennessee. What if we got to hear how God called them to ministry? What was their path toward ministry? How did they do school and serve on campuses? And so we began to plan a trip out across the eastern part of our state. And we met with Jonathan Chapman, who's the BCM director there at East Tennessee State University. And we met for breakfast on May 4th. And before we knew it, the Lord was working, and Jonathan ended up offering Cole a job to serve as an associate at the BCM.
Cole came to the BCM at a pivotal time. We had been growing, literally doubling, the last 2 years before he had arrived. And so becoming our campus missionary and working with us was incredible because he was able to have so much impact on students at the time, not only from an evangelistic standpoint, but from a discipleship standpoint.
Through my 2 years of working at the ETSU BCM with Jonathan, he really showed me what it was like to be in collegiate ministry. But in giving me the opportunities to do ministry, I gained confidence and I understood what it looked like and all the levels of collegiate ministry. And so as I went on from there, I was very confident that this is where God's calling me.
So one of the cool things, in October of 21, Cole had finished up seminary and an opportunity came available at Belmont. And I was so excited to see him be able to go over there and serve there. Ironically, a little bit later on, Mike is having a conversation with me, very similar to Cole, about what the future of ministry looks like. Do I need to be doing college ministry, young adult? What does that look like?
I was sitting in Jonathan's office, just pouring my heart out, struggling with the call to ministry. I'd love to be mentored by pastors in a local ministry context and learn how to do ministry there. And while I'm pouring out my heart to Jonathan, saying, I don't know how we're going to do this, Chad Mize emails Jonathan and says, hey, if you have any students that are graduating that are wanting to learn how to do ministry in a local church context. And Jonathan said, yeah, he's right in front of me.
Forest Hills had the privilege of bringing Micah on as one of our first ministry residents. And guess what? Micah is also serving on our college campuses with our collegiate ministry at Forest Hills, where he also gets to serve in the same spaces as Cole Rogers. What I didn't know is that while Cole was serving at the BCM with Jonathan, Cole was discipling Micah.
Over the course of my years at ETSU, I was invested in by many people. Jonathan poured into me, mentored me, and kind of showed me how to live as a believer. And Cole Rogers also poured into me and discipled me, having weekly meetings and showing me what it looked like to be a young man who had responded to the Lord's call in ministry on my life. The investments from the people at the BCM and from other students around me altered the course of my life forever and helped me respond positively to what the Lord was doing in my life.
At Forest Hills, we've always believed in collaborative ministry through our local conventions. And the Tennessee Baptist Mission Board has really served to be a catalyst for equipping those that we've sent out and also discipling those that we've sent to college campuses. And in this story, we've really seen all sides of that equation really work for the glory of God, the furtherance of the gospel, and really the equipping of the saints for the work of service in the local church.
As Tennessee Baptists give through the cooperative program and the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions, they make it possible for BCMs to disciple students and also to send them back out as leaders into our local churches here in Tennessee, but also around the world.
And God is doing an awesome work across our state through the Baptist Collegiate Ministries. In fact, with all the disasters in East Tennessee and Western North Carolina, our state convention through disaster relief offered a training there this past week on the campus there of ETSU. They had expected maybe 200 to show up. They had over 400 to show up. And so 300 of those did everything to get certified. The rest of those just wanted to be able to know the proper methods for flood recovery. And a huge portion of that 400 were students there on the campus of ETSU. So we praise the Lord for what he's doing through those awesome ministries. And so when you give to the Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions, it is going to the work there as with disaster relief, as well as across our state to Baptist Collegiate Ministry. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you this morning for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for providing for us so that we have our needs met. Lord, there are so many around us who are suffering and who are hurting and who are in need, and you have blessed us to be a blessing to people in our community, to people across this state, to people across this nation and around the world. So help us to be that, Lord. Help us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ to the lost and to the dying. Father, I thank you for this wonderful ministry through our Golden Offering for Tennessee Missions through the Baptist Collegiate Ministries. We pray that you'll continue to bless them. And Father, I pray that all those who are able to be certified and trained will be used by you in great and mighty ways to bring the gospel to people's hearts and lives who are hurting, not only physically, but spiritually. And so, Father, we pray for all those people who are suffering across eastern Tennessee and western North Carolina, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina. We ask, God, that you would just have your hands upon them, watch over them, protect them. Lord, we pray that you will keep them safe in your arms. Make this, Lord, an opportunity to bring glory to your name and to bring good into their lives. And Father, we just pray this morning, as we pray, may you lay upon our hearts what we might give to the Golden Offering for Tennessee Mission. So thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in our hearts and our lives. Bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to encourage you at home, especially, to go to our church website at Highland Baptist Church. Go to the far right-hand side there. Click the Give Online tab. You can do your online giving. You can do that from here in person also that way. Or you can use the envelopes that are in the pews in front of you and place that in the offering plate at the front here or at the doors as you leave today. Just a reminder, too, we are still doing our church directory. We finished our first day yesterday. So if you have appointments today, be sure to remember that about your appointments and what times you have. For today, there are still some open appointments for the next two Saturdays. There are no appointments open for the next two Sundays. Those are all filled up, so thank you for doing that. But there are several that, as I look around even today, that I know have not signed up. We want to get your picture, just for the directory at least. So if you would, see myself after the service. We'll help you to get signed up. So you can do that and get at one of the sessions that are upcoming. You don't have to purchase anything. It's all free. You'll get the pictures that are being taken, plus later, and probably be sometime after the first of the year, you'll get a church directory. So this is not just for our members. Let me emphasize that it's not just for our members. It's for you who are present here with us this morning. Visitors, guests, whoever you may be this morning, we want you to participate with us in this also. So be sure to sign up for that. And then also don't forget the Christmas backpacks. If you have brought a backpack and you have put it up here on the stage, make sure you see me to make sure we get you signed out that you returned. So don't come looking for you when you actually have brought yours. But we do want to encourage you, if you've not brought yours back, next Sunday is the Sunday for you to make sure to get those back to us by. We also, and I did not get this picture up for the screen, our association is collecting goods for the needs in Western North Carolina. It's on our church Facebook group. The page there is, but it's basically cleaning supplies are the biggest things that they're needing. So anything you think of that are cleaning supplies, Clorox wipes, cleaning sprays, those kinds of things, those are the things we're mostly needing. And then any other things that are kind of those immediate needs. Later, our church is going to be doing some things for the long-term needs. And so we want to encourage you to help us with that collection. They will be leaving out either tomorrow night or first thing Tuesday morning. So if you want to bring supplies, bring them here to the church sometime tomorrow morning. Maybe not later than noonish, sometime around there, and we will get them to the association, to the place where they're collecting them for the association at First Baptist Church, Estill Springs. If you want to just take them directly there, you can do that also, and there'll be people there receiving those. You can take those this afternoon. I think it's between 2 and 5, is that right, Ken? I think that's right. And then tomorrow, most any time of the day, you can take supplies. So thank you.
There are so many that are showing the love of Christ by their actions and their support in East Tennessee area. We have a story to tell also. Join us as we sing 586, We Have a Story to Tell.
Okay.
The song we're going to sing this morning, as you see on the screen, is God is So Good. We've sang King of My Heart before, so if you know the second part there, feel free to sing along with us, but we know that you probably know God is So Good, so feel free to sing along with that part also.
God is so good. Children's Church. We'll be gathering over here on the piano side in this next hymn. Next hymn is Open My Eyes That I May See, hymn 502. Please stand with us and sing as the kids head out. Open my eyes that I may see.
Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 25. If you remember, if you've been here with us the last couple of Sundays, we've been in chapter 4 for a little bit. We're going to still be in chapter 4 because I want to take some time to look through these particular issues that Paul tells us that ought not to be a part of our lives when you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. We're to put on the new creation, take off the old, and we're to walk in the new life in Christ. And so we're going to address some of those particulars throughout the next few weeks, and that's why I've entitled this message this morning, Liar, Liar. What's the rest of it? Pants on fire. So you know that. Well, it's more than pants on fire that we're going to see in this today. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for your word this morning. Pray, Lord, that it'll go forth and not return void. I pray, God, that you will use your word to bring those who are lost to faith in Christ and those who have faith in Christ already, Lord, that it would strengthen them in their walk with you. Lord, I pray that we will see what lying does to our lives so that we would see that it is a thing that can destroy not only us, but those around us. Sin affects not just us, it affects so many others. And so, Father, I pray that you'll help us to begin to work on issues in our life as we deal with this issue of lying this morning. I pray, God, that we'll realize that we've all been liars at some point, maybe even still today. And so, Father, I pray that you would bring us to that place of humility before you, of brokenness before you, to repent of our sins. So bless your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. The first thing that Paul tells us that needs to change in our lives as believers in these verses is lying. And as I studied this passage, I thought, you know, why does he start with lying? Because one of the things I think is it affects so many other things in our lives. It leads to other sins in our lives, and it just becomes a snowball effect. Verse 25 is a quote from the Old Testament in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 16 that says, "Speak truth to one another." So Paul not only brings to this passage here as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, he's writing to those who are Gentile believers, those who have not been of the Jewish faith, but those who have come to faith in Christ as Gentiles, those outside the Jews. And so they have trusted by faith in Jesus, and he's writing to the church. So when we look at these events, these particular aspects here of our relationship with God that needs to be addressed, realize he's not writing to the lost world out there. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. And he's saying that even amongst the believers at Ephesus, you need to be careful about lying, because that's something you can bring from the past with you, from your lost old nature into your life in Christ, and it will hinder your walk with Christ. So he brings with him the weight of the Old Testament prophet here of Zechariah, because he not only says speak truth to one another, he adds because we are members of one another. So understand this, as a church, your words greatly affect the whole body. Think about it. If my eye says to my hand, that iron is hot, or is not hot. My eye says to my hand, that iron is not hot. If my hand touches that iron and it's hot, it doesn't matter what my eye said, it's still hot, and I'll get burned. So since all the parts of our body are to be united together, he's telling the church here that false words, lying, hurts the whole body. Lies will stifle unity, but truth strengthens unity. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18 through verse 20 says this, "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, come murder, come adultery, come sexual immorality, theft." And we're thinking, oh, we're good so far, but then he says, false witness, lying, slander. These are what defile a person. Paul writes this over in the letter to the church at Colossae in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9 through verse 10. He says to the church, and he says to us as believers, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator." So when you become a Christian, as we talked about last time, there's a transformation that needs to happen. If there's not been a transformation in your life from the old self to the new self, from the old way of living to a new way of living, doesn't mean that we're perfect over here yet. But it means that that's our heart's desire. That's what we're seeking to do in our lives, is to live to bring glory to God. then if there's not been that kind of transformation in your life, then you need to go back to the root of the problem over here, which is your relationship with Him. Do you really have that relationship with Him? And if you find out that you don't, you need to get that settled. But if you do, then you need to come in repentance before the Lord, because He says you need to put off the old nature and you need to put on the new self, which is to be renewed in the knowledge in your heart and in your mind, as we talked about last week. So Paul has already emphasized truth in this chapter. Go back to verse 15 of chapter 4 and notice what he says. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. Verse 21 says, assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him as the truth is in Jesus. And then in verse 24, he says, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So he's already emphasized, this is what your life as a believer is to be characterized by. It's to be characterized by truth, not lies. And so as God's people, we are supposed to be truth tellers. Just like God desired for the city of Jerusalem to be a city of truth, He longs for the church to be the same. Now, that word translated lying is actually the lie, singular, which is understood in the sense of lying. It can also carry the idea of idolatry, exchanging the truth of God for a lie, as Romans 1:25 says. We also know from Scripture that God hates lying. He actually makes a list. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 and verse 17, he says, there are six things that the Lord hates, yes, seven that are an abomination to Him. Haughty eyes, which is pride, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies. Twice he mentions that. And then one who sows discord among brothers. He mentions that again in Proverbs 12, 22, in Proverbs 12, 19, in Proverbs 20, 17, in Proverbs 21, 6. Over and over and over, he tells us that that is one of the things God hates, is one who lies. And in fact, he reminds us in John 8, 44, that the devil himself is a liar. So when you tell the truth, you are imitating God. When you lie, you are imitating Satan. So let me start by asking you this question today. How many of you have ever told a lie? Those of you who didn't raise your hand, you just did. In America, we have literally become a lying society. No other time of the year or years shows that more than a political season. We see lies after lies after lies. Then when things do settle down and someone's elected to whatever position it might be, we find out, oh, that's not what they were intended to do to start with. They told us lies. We have become a lying society. Not just politicians, though. Understand this, we lie at home. We lie at work. We lie to our parents, young people. We lie to our friends. We lie to our spouse. We lie to our family. You see so much lies on social media. And one of the most subtle ways that that happens is we put a facade up to make it look like we're something that we're not. And we're lying about who we really are. Oh, things are great in my life and they're not. We lie about our feelings. We lie about our finances. We lie on our taxes. We lie in our politics and government. The truth of the matter is we are all liars, both by nature and by choice. Psalm 58, verse 3 says this, the wicked are estranged from the womb. When you're in your mother's womb, you are separated from God. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray from birth, speaking
lies. You ever thought about that? How many of you have ever sat down, your parents? You ever sat down, you teach your kids the alphabet, you teach your kids numbers, you teach your kids colors. You ever sat down to teach your kids how to lie? Not a single one of us have done that. But somehow they still lie, don't they? And we did when we were kids. They just did it. We lie, and we've come up with so many creative ways to lie. We simply deliberately tell an untruth, and sometimes we tell a half-truth. Sometimes we can lie without even saying a word. So many believe there's nothing wrong with telling a lie, and even fewer believe that honesty is the best policy. So when Paul says this in verse 25, therefore, having put away falsehood, having put away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. He is ultimately hearkening back to the Old Testament, to the Ten Commandments, where God says this in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not lie. God expects us to deal with other people with honesty and integrity. And so this commandment tells us the reasons why we ought to tell the truth. So what does the Bible have to teach us about lying? The first thing I want you to see the Bible teaches us here about lying is that lying dishonors God. So if you're a believer here this morning and you're lying, you're dishonoring your Heavenly Father. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22 says this, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are His delight. You see, one of the reasons that God hates lying is because to lie treats God like a fool, as if He doesn't know when you're not telling the truth. In fact, sometimes we lie to God, don't we? Lord, I didn't do that. For example, we'll tell uncertain truths. We'll tell little, you know, we have that colorization of it. We call it white lies, as if there's some other kind of colors of lies. We tell little white lies. It's estimated that adults admit to telling 13 white lies every week. And that in and of itself is probably a little white lie to start with. But as we said, there's no colors with lies in the eyes of God. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 to verse 19, we read before that passage, except for verse 19, that there are seven things which God hates. Look at that list again. Six things that the Lord hates, seven are an abomination to Him, verse 16. Verse 17 says, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. Notice that two of those seven things that God hates has to do with lying and being dishonest. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the time. But you cannot fool God any of the time. God knows your heart. And so the reason why our lying will always catch up with us is because that there are always two people who know that you're lying. You know you're lying, and God knows you're lying. So in fact, let me turn that around. There are two people you can't lie to. You can't lie to God, and you really can't lie to yourself. You can't lie to yourself and you can't lie to God. So the reason why we're called to be people who speak the truth is because we serve a truth-telling God. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse 4, by no means let God be true, though everyone were a liar. God the Son is true. Jesus said Himself in John chapter 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit is true. The Bible calls him in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6, the Spirit of truth. So if God is true, then his word must be true. And everything that God has ever said is absolutely, unmistakably, entirely true. Now, we may not always understand what it means or how it applies, but everything you find in the Word of God is true. This book, this Bible, tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which is why Jesus said this in John 17, 17. He said, "Your word is truth." So when we lie, we dishonor the God of truth. Secondly, I want you to see that lying deceives others. You know, sometimes we think about it that oh, if I just tell a lie, nobody's ever going to know, and it's only going to affect me. It's not going to affect anybody else. But lying deceives others. Proverbs 10:10 says this, "Whoever winks the eye causes trouble." The Good News Bible says it this way, "Someone who holds back the truth causes trouble." So when you lie, you inevitably cause trouble, not only for yourself, but for other people also. You cause resentment. You cause mistrust. You cause bitterness. You even cause anger. Some of those things we're going to look at. That's why I believe Paul starts out here with lying, because that leads to bitterness. That leads to anger. That leads to resentment and to mistrust. Back in the Bible days, when this commandment was written, before you had anything such as forensic evidence, almost everything in a court depended on the witness. Usually, it would come down to one person's word against another. And since many crimes could cause a person's death, oftentimes the life of the defendant would be at stake, and the words of a false witness could be fatal. You could just imagine. If it's your word against his word, and he says you did it, and that means that if they believe you did it by what they said, then you could be put to death. That's why we have such strict laws in our society today concerning perjury, lying under oath. Whenever you tell a lie, somebody always winds up getting hurt some way, somehow. The Bible says in Proverbs 25 and verse 18, "A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a war club or a sword or a sharp arrow." Two of the most vicious ways that you can lie is either to say something about somebody behind their back that's not true, we call that gossip, or by saying something to their face about them that's not true, that we would never say behind their back. Proverbs 26, 28 says, "A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin." There are all kinds of words that we use for lying. For example, we use the word sweet talking. Sweet talk somebody, or schmoozing, which is saying things about a person that you really don't believe just to get into their good graces. I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with praising another person. We ought to give honor to whom honor is due. But when you praise another person, make sure that it's deserved, and also make sure that it's honest. Make sure that it's accurate, and make sure that it's sincere. I understand that we sometimes say nice things about people because we don't want to hurt their feelings. I'm not saying that you ought to say whatever's on your heart at any time, whether it hurts somebody or not. Think about this. Your wife ever asked you guys how she looks? What'd you tell her? Did she really look good? You know, sometimes we say things. The bottom line of what we're saying here is this. You ought to respect the dignity of other people and then realize that people deserve to be dealt with honestly, and that's really what people want. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, 23, in the end, people appreciate honest criticism far more than flattery. Whoever rebukes a man afterward will find more favor than he who flatters with his tongue. Thirdly, we see that when we lie, lying destroys character. Think about this. If you habitually lie, you're simply putting dishonesty into your mind, into your heart, into your character, and that will be like a cancer that will wind up destroying you. Notice Jesus was speaking of the devil when he said in John 8, verse 44, for you, he's speaking to Pharisees and scribes here, he's saying, for you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when you lie, you're associating yourself with the father of lies, Satan himself. Understand, you are never more like the devil than when you tell a lie. Young people, you are never more like the devil than when you tell a lie to your parents or to your teacher. Husbands, you are never more like the devil when you tell a lie to your wife. Has it ever occurred to you that this world is in the mess that it's in today because of lying? Think about that. The first lie ever told was by the devil to Adam and Eve. God told the truth when he said to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he said, do not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because in that day, when you do it, you will surely die. And what did the devil do? He does what he always does. He lied. He come to them in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, and he said to them, you will not surely die. In other words, he told them, God lied to you. You surely aren't going to die. You can sin and get away with it. And we all know that's not true. Here's what's true. This verse is true in Proverbs 11, verse 3, that says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. As another version says it, honesty guides good people. Dishonesty destroys treacherous people. So get the picture. Lying destroys, and it primarily destroys the person who lies. But it doesn't just affect you. It affects so many others around you. Here's the reason why it destroys the one who lies. Because lying isn't primarily a problem of your mouth. I grew up in an age, and some of you did. My grandmother used to tell me, if you say something bad or you tell a lie, I'm going to wash your mouth out with soap. You ever had that happen? Some of you older people have. I had that happen. My grandmother washed my mouth out with soap. It'll keep you from doing that. But it's not primarily a problem of the mouth. It's primarily a problem of the heart. Jesus said this in Matthew 12, 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus went on to say in Matthew 15, 19, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Lying makes a coward out of you. I mean, think about it. How many times have you told a lie because you wanted to escape the consequences of something you did wrong to avoid the punishment, to protect yourself, to cover yourself? You know how it works. You know, we've used some of the hyperbole examples. My dog ate my homework. It takes courage to tell the truth. It takes a coward to tell a lie. Because we lie because we fear the consequences. When I was younger, I got in trouble in elementary school for not turning in an assignment when I was supposed to. went on for several weeks. The teacher kept asking for the assignment to be turned in. And finally, the teacher had enough. She sent me to the principal's office. After the principal had finished talking to me, he finally said to me, he said, "You can either get in-school suspension or you can get a paddle." And I thought, well, if I do in-school suspension, my mom's going to know about that. But if I get the paddle, she might not know about that. So I decided to take the paddle, but the problem was my mom worked in the cafeteria at the elementary school. So I knew she was going to find out one way or the other that I had chose the paddle. I thought, surely maybe she won't find out. Guess what happened? I left the principal's office. I'm walking down the sidewalk, headed back to my class, and here comes my mom walking down the sidewalk to go to the school office, oblivious of what has happened with me. She asked me, "What you been crying for?" For a brief moment, I thought about making something up, but I knew better than that. So I told the truth. And you know what she said to me? "Well, guess what? You're getting another when you get home." Let me tell you this. Sometimes when you tell the truth, it hurts. It hurts. But it's the best thing you could ever do. You know the real reason why we lie? It's because we don't trust God enough to be with us. We don't trust God enough to help us if we tell the truth and we have to suffer the consequences for it, which is exactly why the prophet Isaiah asked this question in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 57 and verse 11. He says, "Whom did you dread and fear so that you lied and did not remember me, did not lay it to heart?" Understand this, God can't stand by when you as a believer lie, but he'll stand by you when you tell the truth. The problem with lying is this: it's not hard to tell one lie, but it's almost impossible to tell only one lie. Because one lie leads to another lie that leads to another lie, and eventually the liar becomes entangled in a web of deceit and lying that they've woven day after day after day after day, until finally not just one lie catches up with them, but all those lies they've been telling catch up with them. Why is this all so important to us as a church? Why is it important for our families? Because trust is the glue that holds relationships together in the family and in the church. Trust is essential if you want to have a good marriage. Trust is essential if you're going to have good friends. Trust is essential if you're going to have good business relationships. Trust is essential if you want to have a good marriage. Trust is essential if you're going to have friends. And that's why it's so important that we teach our children and teach our families the importance of honesty and integrity and doing what you say you will do and telling the truth. Do you want what's good for your family? Do you want what's good for your kids to live a life that's long and good and prosperous? Listen to these final verses in Psalm 34, verse 12 and verse 13. "What man is there who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." You're never more like the devil, we said, than when you lie. But you're never more like God when you tell the truth. The family you belong to will determine your eternal destiny. So here's the question. Are you a child of God or are you a child of the devil? And think carefully about what we're saying, because lying has an eternal impact on you. It may even determine your eternal destiny. You don't think lying's a big deal? Revelation chapter 21, verse 8 says, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, as for the sexually immoral, as for sorcerers and idolaters," and we think, oh, those, we know those people aren't going to be in heaven, but what about "and all liars? Their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur," which is the second death. Now, understand this. He's not talking about you told one lie, so now you're going to hell. He's talking about this is habitual in your life, which is showing your true character, your true nature, that you don't really know Christ to start with in your heart, in your life. That's why all these that he lists here, when you're speaking lies, is showing the picture of who you truly are in your heart. So on the other hand, when you're finally willing to be totally truthful about yourself, that you're a sinner, when you're finally willing to be totally truthful about your heart, that you need a new one, and totally truthful with a God who can forgive your sins and that God can change your heart through faith in Jesus Christ, then I can honestly tell you this morning that you can become a part of God's family forever. Lying will tie you up in knots. It'll get you tangled in a web of lies. But the Bible says in John 8:32, if you know the truth will set you free. Lying dishonors God. Lying deceives others. Lying destroys your character. But Jesus, who is the truth, can set you free from your sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what Paul has shared with us as the church this morning. That we as the church, Lord, need to be careful because this is a real issue that can be in our lives and is many times in our lives. And it not only hurts us, it hurts others around us. It hurts our testimony and our witness to the world around us when they hear us lying. So, Father, I pray this morning we would be very, very careful about what comes out of our lips. And, Lord, even beyond that, that we would examine our hearts very, very deeply to make sure that we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because it's out of that heart that we have that comes those lying words. So, Father, I pray this morning if we don't know Christ as our Lord and Savior, may we surrender to Him today saying, dear God, I know this morning, I admit the truth, I am a sinner and I need Jesus as my Savior. I believe this morning that Jesus died on that cross for me. I believe He was buried in the tomb and arose on the third day to give me eternal life. I come to you, Lord, and I surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. I ask Him to come into my heart and my life and to change me from the inside out, to help me be more like Jesus each and every day and less like me. Father, I pray if there's someone who's prayed that or something like that in their hearts and they meant that with all sincerity, Father, I pray they'll come this morning to publicly profess that faith in Christ, to follow through with believers' baptism. But Father, I pray for many of us who are here this morning who already have trusted by faith in Jesus, Lord, that this is an area that we need to start to make sure about our words that we speak, that we're not even just telling half-truths, that we're seeking to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. Father, I pray that your will be done in our hearts and our lives. Maybe we realize this morning, I've been speaking lies. My life has been lived like a lie. Maybe we realize this morning, I've not been living like Jesus, and I've been dishonoring the name of God because of the lies that have come out of my mouth. Father, I pray this morning we would come in repentance, seeking your forgiveness, the cleansing of the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever decisions need to be made, maybe some who need to come and join this fellowship as we seek to share the gospel with people around Tullahoma, across the state, nation, and the world. But Father, whatever your will is in this invitation, may it be done. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand? Would you sing with us our hymn of invitation, number 316? Brother Mike, come and lead us, if you will.
Jesus is tenderly calling me home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love wilt thou roam, farther and farther away? Calling today,
crafts, you're one of our guests or whatever, be sure I'll be down here to help you, and as well as if you turned in one of the backpacks, see me before you leave to let me know that. Brother Tommy's got some announcements, and if you need to share one, please come when he calls.
And Sue Stevenson is with the health issues that they're having. Need to remember Linda Jones and Carolyn Waller was had to go to the hospital over the weekend. Are there any other announcements? Okay, Brian, remember Brian with his blood pressure issues. Operation Christmas Child boxes and labels are on the stage. They need the wow items for the children's packing party on October 30th. Other items are also needed. So just check the list. I think it's on the bulletin board outside the pastor's office. Let us be dismissed with prayer. Father God, only you are holy. Help us to live by the Holy Spirit who dwells in every believer. Be with our military and our first responders. Make sure they come home safely. Please be with the families who have been affected by the flooding from Hurricane Helene. Forgive us when we fail you. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, amen.